We are on Daf Mem Amid Aleph.
Huh?
48:3. Okay, we're going to start where it says Machshava Teva Mitzarfa Lamaisa. Two, four, six, eight, ten, twelve, fourteen, sixteen, eighteen, nineteen lines from the end of the page, beginning of the line. Okay, the Gemara is speaking about a lot of various different things about Tzchus, and you have this world and the next world. Is every world for reward for mitzvahs in this world or not? The whole thing. Now the Gemara says like this: Machshava Teva Mitzarfa Lemaisa. Hashem, the Gemara continues using, quoting the Braisa, that Hashem connects a good thought as if you did it. Now it doesn't mean that, and Tanya explains, it doesn't mean I thought about putting on tefillin, and Hashem says it's like putting on tefillin. But the Gemara says like this, how do we know this? Because it says, as nidbiru yire Hashem isha reyehu, the Zer says like this, those that spoke, the ones that fear Hashem, each man to his friend, Vayakshiv Hashem Vayishma, Hashem listened and he heard. Vayikasev sefer zikar in lefanav, he wrote it in the book of good deeds. Liyire Hashem ulechesh veshmei, the one that even thinks about God's name. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Amar Avasi, afilu chashiv adam lasis mitzvah, even if a guy thought about doing a mitzvah. An emergency happened, something unavoidable happened, and he wasn't able to do it. Milo of a cause of the Torah considers it kilo asef if he did it. But this is a very difficult Gemara to understand, because in other places the Gemara says here. Because in other places, the Gemara says, granted, you're not punished for it, but it's still not considered as if you did it. You wanted to do a mitzvah, something unforeseen came up, and you weren't able to do it. So sometimes it says, Hashem, like, somebody wants to put on tefillin, and they're locked up in Russian prisons, and they can't put on tefillin. So over there, Hashem considers as if you did it, because you wanted to. So therefore, the Gemara says like this, good thoughts, Hashem considers as if you did it. But evil thoughts, Hashem doesn't consider it as if you did it. That means if I wanted to kill somebody, it doesn't mean Hashem says, okay, you killed him. Shenamar, where do we see this in the Pasuk? Because it says, Avinam Ra'isi Balibi, if I sin in my heart, Lo Yishma Hashem, Hashem doesn't hear it. That means if I sin in my heart, meaning in thought, Hashem doesn't consider it as if you did something wrong. The Gemara says, but the different pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to bring bad to the nation as a fruit of their evil thoughts, which means Hashem seemingly is going to punish you for evil thoughts. And here the Gemara just got through saying that Hashem doesn't punish us for evil thoughts. So which one is it? So the Gemara answers like this, an evil thought, a bad thought, that brings you to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Marza Lamaisa, Hashem considered it as if you did. As if you did it. Meaning, no. So Gemara says, then you punish double. For the thought and for the action. But, Machshava She'en Bapri, but a thought, that a bad thought that doesn't come to action, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzayfa Lamaisa, Hashem doesn't consider it as if you actually did it. Therefore, there's no punishment for the thought.
Like in the law over here, something that it was planned.
In Torah, there's no such concept as premeditated. You either did it or you didn't do it. Premeditated doesn't matter. No, but he says like this, when you had a bad thought to do something and you did it, so Hashem punishes you twice, once for the bad thought and once for the doing. If you just thought it and you didn't do it, there's no punishment.
There is halacha or something, if you think about something bad things, is make a sin.
That's what I'm saying. In the Chassidus it says that an evil, the Gemara says in another place, Hirhode Yaveda, thoughts of sin, Koshim Yaveda, even worse than the sin. Okay, why is that? Because there's thought, speech, and action. Okay. Now, they're called garments of the soul. But the bottom line is, you can stop doing, you can stop talking, but you can never stop thinking. The mind always works. So it says, why is that? Because thought is so connected to the neshama, just like the neshama always works, the thought always works. It's brought down in Sfar Daf Mem.
There's also anger.
No, but it says like this. Why is a person called Adam? It says in Svarim, it says like this. Aleph, Dalid Mem. So Aleph stands for Machshava, which is thought. Dalid stands for Dibur, which is speech. And Mem stands for Mas, action. Okay, so the question is, it should be called Madam Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. It's called Adam. Why is Machshava called Aleph? So it says, because Aleph means one. Machshava is so connected to the neshama, like we said, you can never stop thinking. Therefore, Chazal say that thoughts of sin, in a certain respect, are bigger blemish on the soul than action. But what the Gemara is saying here is, you're not punished for it. There's two issues.
You make a sin or not?
No, but there's an effect on the neshama.
The effect on the neshama is worse with thought than with speech. But you're not punished for it because this is an action world. If somebody says, I'm going to kill you, they can't lock me up because I didn't kill the guy. If I kill him, they kill him. But if I say I'm going to kill you, they can't lock me up for not killing you. Understand? So, but as far as the blemish goes, that's why the Gemara says, Hirhure Yaveda, Koshim Meyaveda. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin. Why? Not, they're not punishable. Only they're going to learn for idol worshipping, Hashem punishes for thoughts. Okay? But otherwise, there's no punishment for thought. But the Gemara says, if a bad thought brings you to bad action, then Hashem punishes you for both. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Gemara asks this, this is what we just said. The Gemara said, but there's another pasuk that says, the man's face is Beis Yisro Belibam. Hashem going to take a hold of the Jews for their hearts. Meaning, even thinking sin is also punishable. So the Gemara says, Amir Avacha, we're like 10 lines in the bottom of the page of Mem Amir Aleph. Amir Avacha Bar Yaakov, Bavedis Kuchavim Hodechsev. It says, when does Hashem hold us responsible for thoughts? Thoughts of idol worshipping. Then we're punished even for thoughts. Like it says, the Amar Mar, because we say, Chamur Avedis Kuchavim, idol worshipping is such a bad sin. Shakola Kefiba, whoever denounces idol worshipping is like they kept the whole Torah. So the Gemara's conclusion here is like this. A good thought, Hashem considers if you did it. Evil thoughts are only punishable if you bring to an act of sin. Except for idol worshipping, then you're punished even just for the thought.
Did they do it out of desire or did they do it out of knowledge that they wanted to connect to somebody?
That, you know, it was still idol worshipping.
I know, but
the Rambam at the beginning of the laws of Aveidah Zarah, of idol worshipping, starts off by saying, like, where did it come from?
Right.
I mean, bound onto sticks. I mean, stones. I mean, where does it come from? So the Rambam says, in his Sefer, the whole, like, evolution of idol worshipping. It says like this. In the days of Enosh, because that was the beginning of idol worshipping, in the beginning of Bereishis, right? So it says, Az hucha likre b'shem Hashem, then they started calling in the name of idols. They believed, yes, there's a God. Yes, there's a God. But God gave powers over to the sun. To the moon, to the sun, to the mountains, you know. In other words, the sun gives us warmth and makes things grow, and the earth, you know. So he said, okay, there's for sure a God. But don't you think we should thank them also? We should say thank you to the sun and the moon and all the other things that give us sustenance, the constellations, the mazolas. So they started thanking them also. Not that they didn't believe in God. They started worshiping them also as a form of thank you. As time went on, this was tangible, and God wasn't. So what happened after time? They started worshiping this instead of God. So they denied God. That's how it began.
I understand that concept, but it seems like that they had some kind of hana of doing.
Yeah, it was such a strong yetzahara. I told you there's a story in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Rav Ashi, who wrote the Gemara, he compiled the Gemara. Rav Ashi, yeah, once was teaching his class, and he said in a very derogatory way, in a knocking way, he said, "Ah, tomorrow we're going to learn about our friend, the idol worshipper Menashe." You know, the Menashe was one of the Jewish kings that didn't put idols and he didn't let the Jews go to the Beis Hamikdash. So he said it in a very derogatory way. So the Gemara says that night, Menashe came to Rav Ashi in a dream. And Menashe said to him, "Who are you to talk?" He says, "If you would have lived when I did, you would have taken the corner of your jacket and you would have run to worship idols." It was like the Yetzirah. It was, to think, today, tell somebody you bow down to a statue. You're meshuggah. What are you, nuts? What are you buying down to a statue for? But the Buddhas do it. They do, even today. They do it.
They don't have the same hana.
Okay, but this is the form of worship.
I know, but what happened to that level of the pleasure that they had?
Even if the Rambam says, from the Gemara, that even if they don't have pleasure worshiping idols, if you bow down to an idol, even if not out of you, you just did it, it's a joke. It was capital punishment, it was death.
Like drinking blood, who wants to drink blood? But
those days they drink blood. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. This is a very famous Gemara. B'chal, until the end of the parak, is mamish simple, very interesting Gemara. Very famous Gemara, by the way. Ula Amar, Ula says, K'd Rav Huna. Like Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna say? K'ivin sha'aver adam aveda v'shanaba. Once a person commits a sin and keeps repeating it, hutralei, it becomes permitted. It becomes permitted. So the Gemara says, hutralei sa'kodaituch. Was Rav Huna saying that it's permissible? How could you say such a thing? And the Gemara says, nasis lekehetet. It becomes like permissible. And that was the first time you do it, you're guilty. You feel guilty. You do it again, you feel less guilty. After a few times, it's like, it's normal. It's normal to do. Then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rababu, Mishim Rab Yechanina, Rababu said the name of Rachanina. Neach lila adam shiyavar aveda besesa. It's better for a person to commit a sin privately, quietly, secretly, by Yizchalo Shem Shemayim Befeset, not to desecrate the name of God publicly. Because when you do a sin publicly, then you're desecrating Hashem's name. So he says it's better to do it privately than publicly. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'atam Beis Yisrael, you Jews, Koyamar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Ish Gilulov Luchu Aveidu. You know what? Go serve your idols. Because you don't listen to me anyway. But God said, don't desecrate my name. So God said, you guys want to worship idols? Go do it. I don't care. Just don't do it. Don't desecrate my name publicly. That's why we know Chilul Hashem is the worst possible sin. Desecration of God's name is the worst possible sin. Then there's also a very famous Gemara. Amr Rabbi Loya Zokin. Rabbi Loya the elder said, Imreya Adam Shiyitrim is Gabir Olaf. What happens if a guy sees his Yetzirah is so powerful, he's getting him to sin? What should you do? He says like this, Yelech L'makom Shemakir in Eisei, go to a place where nobody knows you. Yilbash Shechedim, clothe yourself in black, V'yisiskasa Shechedim, and cover yourself with black, V'yatzeh K'meisha Libri Chofetz, and do whatever you want. But don't desecrate God's name in public. Now Rashi says, what's this thing of wearing black? Okay? Black humbles a person. It's a concept of ma, yeah. But yeah, but he says humbles a person. If you wear black, it's a more conservative color, so you're not so loud. So that maybe itself will stop you from sinning. But the Gemara basically says, if you're dying to sin, go to a place nobody knows you and sin over there, because at least you won't desecrate Hashem's name in public.
So everybody start wearing black.
Yeah, that we should be able to sin, no problem. So no, Mari says, one second.
Everybody, you know, I've had arguments with family with saying that the black is very
modest.
It's not modest. It's very
depressing.
Not depressing. No. It's
simple. It's simple before the.
It's simple, but the problem is they say it's intimidating. It's intimidating. If you go to like a meeting or something, the black is very intimidating.
So Mari says like this. Any, it's not true. What are we saying here? It's better to sin in private than in public. So Gemara says, not true. But Tanya, we learn, whoever does not, is not concerned about the honor of Hashem, should have never been created. And Gemara says, what does this mean? Mahi, what type of person doesn't have this, you know, concern for Hashem? So Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says, it refers to a person, mistakel bekeshes, looks into a rainbow.
Gazes at a rainbow.
Stares at a rainbow. What does that mean? Because in Yecheskel, he describes that Hashem's coming into the world like a rainbow. Like revelation. Even though in another Gemara it says a rainbow, Rashi says in Chumash, it's a bad sign. That means Hashem really wants to destroy the world, but he's not. Anyway, so he says like this. Rabbi says, what does it mean you don't care about God if you stare at a rainbow? In other words, like you're staring at godliness, you're making it cheap. Rav Yosef, this is what the Gemara wanted to bring out over here. Rav Yosef said, what does it mean a person doesn't care about God? If you commit an aveda in secret. Meaning, like we know, why is a ganef worse than a gazlan? A ganef is a guy that steals quietly. Goes in the middle of the night, sneaks in. He has to pay double. We learned this. A guy that does it broad daylight, he only pays single. Why? So the Gemara explains. Rashi brings us down the Chumash from the Gemara. A gazlan, a brazen person, he has a personality issue. He doesn't care about nobody. Not God, not people. Okay. A ganef does it quietly. He doesn't want to get caught by people. But he's not afraid of God. So he's worse. So here Rav Yosef says, you know, if you don't care about God, when you sin privately as if to say, you know, God's not looking or whatever like that. So that means a private sin is worse. And here he's saying a public sin is worse. So which one is it? So Gemara says like this. Lai kash, it's not a question. It depends if he's able to control his yetzahar or not. If Rav Yosef says, when is a secret sin worse? When he is able to control his Yetzirah, and he doesn't. The one that says, go sin quietly, not publicly, that's when you have no control over your Yetzirah. If you have no control over your Yetzirah, then it says, go sin quietly. At least people won't see that you're sinning. Because at least he's not desecrating Hashem's name. And therefore, that's not so bad. Then it says, Tananas, and we learned what?
Most people sin, all of us sin, when we cannot control ourselves. Whatever sin it is, we sin.
We have an ability to control.
We have
the ability, but the fact that we do A and B and G, because we did not control, we could not control ourselves at that time.
Right, but here he's talking about. Yeah, but he speak over here, and in fact, Tosfos over here asks a question. The Gemara says, okay, go to a place nobody knows you, put on black, and do what you want. So Tosfos said, what do you mean, we're letting the guy sin? It's not a license to sin. Tosfos, no, says, what the Gemara means is by going to a place where nobody knows you, and wearing black, hopefully you won't sin. That's what it means. But as far as the ability to control the Yetzer Hara, sometimes a person with minimal effort could. And sometimes with minimal effort, it's very, very difficult. So that's what the Gemara says. If you really find it really difficult and you're going to sin, just go to where nobody knows you. Then a public sin is worse. But if you're going to sin privately, you want everybody to think you're holy, and you're sinning privately, that's worse, because that shows you have no to be, you're afraid what people are going to say, but you don't care about God. That's a much worse level. B'chol, we mentioned this many times, it's brought down in Sfarim, a very interesting, about controlling the Yetzer Hara. What happens if a person has a strong desire to sin? Okay, a strong desire to sin. So it says in, how do you deal with it? You know, what's the advice? So it says like this, tell the Yetzer Hara, you know what? Give me 2 minutes. You could sin, but just give me 2 minutes without sinning.
That's right. Quit smoking.
So it says why? Two things it says. It's a remarkable thing. It says, number one, many times the urge, like you said, the urge dies. Right now it's in the heat of the moment. So you say, okay, you know, in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, I'll do it. So by then the urge is not there anymore. Secondly, it says this is a remarkable thing. Even if you end up sinning, first thing is maybe you won't come to sin. But even if you sin, it says in this form like this, the fact that you held yourself back for 5 minutes, Hashem has tremendous pleasure from that. Even though you sinned. But the fact that you held yourself back for 5, 10 minutes, whatever it was, that itself is an unbelievable accomplishment. Even though you ended up sinning. So a lot of times you'll end up not sinning. You know, because the urge is over. Like, it's like smoking, all this stuff is the same way. Guy's dying for a cigarette, and he says, you know what, in 10 minutes, and by then, it already it goes away.
You know, as some, one student of school wants to go with the ladies say, I didn't go to the mikveh. And then they say, okay, he refused to go. Because it's
an
excuse.
Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. There's a Mishnah. Officially, this is supposed to be in Pirkei Avos, even though this Mishnah doesn't say in Pirkei Avos, but the concept is in Pirkei Avos. That's what Tesis explains over here. It says, a makifim b'chilul Hashem. Hashem normally gives us credit, extends credit, but when it comes to desecration of Hashem's name, there's no credit given. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. And he said, Echad Sheged, Echad Mezid, because the Mishnah over there says, Echad Sheged, Echad Mezid, Bichilul Hashem. Okay? Whether it's accidental, intentional, there's no credit given when it comes to Chilul Hashem. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Ma'e Makim, what do you mean? You don't extend credit for sinning? Like, what does that mean? Amr Mazutra, Mazutra says, Shein Eisin Kechemani, Hashem does not act like a storekeeper. What does that mean? When you whoever sells stuff, okay, you sell on credit. Okay? You don't make them pay for each deal. You sell on credit, and then when a bunch of bills come, then they pay the bill altogether. He says, when it comes to a desecration of Hashem's name, as soon as you do it, Hashem punishes you. There's no extended time for punishment. You desecrate Hashem's name, you get right away. Another interpretation is Ay Mekifin. Marbere Dravana Omar, Mar the son of Ravana says, Laimashim Haisa Shkula. If all your good deeds and bad deeds are equal on the scale, so then Machras, it tips the scale of the misdeeds. Of the, you know, weighs the scale down. So there's no credit given.
The worst sin is
Chilul
Hashem.
Yeah. In fact, when the Gemara says in Yuma, the Gemara speaks about sins and tshuva. It says like this: you do a positive mitzvah, I mean, you transgress a positive mitzvah, you do tshuva, you're forgiven. Negative commandments, tshuva, but you're not forgiven until Yom Kippur. Krisis Mrs. Besdin, if you did an avera that, you know, the courts kill you, then you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, and punishment.
Correct.
And then it says the fourth level, for Chilul Hashem, the only tshuva that helps is, tshuva is not enough, Yom Kippur is not enough, punishment is not enough, only death is enough. That's what the Gemara says. So Chilul Hashem is the worst category of any type of sin. So the Mefashim discuss, what do you mean death? I mean, there's other, Enoch, Dov Hashem, Mefnei Tshuva, you could do, there's always a Veda. I mean, Tshuva. So it does, it's a much harder level of Tshuva, because the sin is worse, so it's a much harder level of Tshuva.
Will idol worshiping be worse?
No. That's Krisis and Mises Bezdin. Chil Hashem is worse than idol worshiping. Unless if you're doing idol worshiping publicly, like we learned here, so that's also Chil Hashem.
One of the kings do like this, idol worshiping, and they forgive him.
No. He didn't forgive him. Which one?
So the negative commandment, if you do a teshuvah, then it takes all the way to
Yom Kippur to be completely forgiven. It's a very simple thing. I think we mentioned this last night by the class. If somebody, let's say, doesn't put on tefillin, okay, they didn't keep a positive mitzvah. Okay? You didn't do an act of rebellion against God. You just didn't do what you were supposed to do. It's a passive sin.
But the other one, you created this entity.
Right, okay. But if somebody, let's say, eats treif, that's an act of sin. It's not passive sin. Not putting on tefillin, I didn't do a mitzvah, but I didn't actively go against Hashem. I just didn't do what He told me to do.
Right.
Here, when I eat chazer or do a negative commandment, then I'm actually doing a positive act, which is going against Hashem. That's much worse. So the tshuva is harder. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan, Le'elam Reya Adam Atzmei, a person should always look at himself, Kilu Chetzi Chayiv V'Chetzi Zakei, as if you're 50% good, 50% bad, innocent and guilty. Therefore, Asa Mitzvah Achas, you're going to do one mitzvah, Ashrav, fortunate are you, She'achriya Atzmei L'Kav Zchus, you tip the whole scale to good. Aver Aveira Achas, you do one Aveira, Oilei, woe is to him, She'achriyas Atzmei L'Kav Chayva.
Isn't that
a
Rebbe slogan?
No, but see, this is different than what the Rebbe always quoted the Rama. I'll tell you a second, 1 second, let's finish this. Shenabe, because it says, V'chayta Echad, one sin, Ya'abed Teva Harbe forfeits a lot of good.
What?
Huh? B'shvil chet yechid shechota, because of one sin that a guy did, so now he tips the whole scale to bad. So it's like all the good schusim that you had, all the good merits that you had, is not covered, because now the majority, like the Gemara is soon going to say, a person's judged by a majority. But generally speaking, a good person, a bad person, no, every person does bad, every person does good. So you say a good person means most of the time he's good, sometimes he's bad. Bad people means most of the time they're bad, sometimes good. So the Gemara is saying a very simple advice of not to sin. Okay? Picture that you right now is equally balanced, good and bad. You do a mitzvah, you go to good. You do an aveda, it all goes to bad. The Rambam takes it a step further. The Rambam takes this Gemara a step further, that not only are you affecting yourself as an individual, the whole world is equally balanced scale. That means what you're doing is going to affect not only you, but the whole world is going to be affected by this. Which, like we said, explains what many people that criticize the Bible say, you know, you guys say Torah is supposed to be Torah's chesed, a Torah of kindness. He said, come on, a guy eats 1 ounce of chazer, he gets 39 lashes. That's chesed? I mean, you know, the guy in Singapore, what is going to get to a few lashes, the whole world went crazy. Yeah? He says, a guy eats a little bit of chazer, you give him 39 lashes. I mean, come on, that's chesed? That's cruelty. So the Rebbe explained this, based on this Rambam, Because the Rambam says, you're dragging the whole world into evil by eating this piece of chazer. And you're warned, you have to be warned. And you have to, you know, right before you do it. And they tell you, listen, like the Gemara says over here, this piece of meat that you're going to be eating is going to drag the whole world into bad. And the guy can't hold himself back. He's a chazer. He's a chazer. He's an achzer. He's a meat crow person. In other words, he doesn't care because he wants to eat this ounce of pig. He doesn't care about what happens to the whole world. So it's not cruel punishment. It's very kind punishment. He deserves much more. He deserves much more.
Because you're saying that eating an ounce of pig really is prohibited in a scheme of the whole universe and whole galaxy.
That's what the Rambam says. Yira adam atzmei shakul, v'chol ha'ilam kule shakul. And the same thing is in a positive way. You do one mitzvah, you bring the whole world to good. You do one aveir, you bring the whole world to bad. The Rambam really, this is all in Hilchas Tshuva, but the Rambam is answering with this a very the Rambam starts the discussion with a question. Lama nivra adam yechidi. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Lama nivra adam yechidi. When God made the world, He didn't make one tree. He made millions of trees. He made millions of waters. He made millions of animals. Right? Yet it came to Adam, He made one Adam. Why didn't He create 1,000 Adams at the same time? So it says, the Mishnah says, that every person should say, this is what the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The whole world was created for me. So the Rambam says, what does that Mishnah mean? Because some people take it literally. The whole world's mine. Because all of mankind came from one man. Right? So the Mishnah says, Shechayev kol echad ve'echad leimad, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me. So the Rambam explains, what does that mean? What do you mean the whole world? You know, you could be a big, haughty, egotistic person saying, the whole world is mine. The Rambam says, no. What it means is, what the Mishnah, Bishvili nivra ha'olam, means that my action will affect the entire world, either good or bad. That's what it means. And therefore, a person needs to be responsible for their actions. You know, they always used to tell us, the kids, when we were growing up, they always told us, there's a story, people are going on a boat. Yeah, and the little kid got bored, so he took out his knife, and he started making a hole under his seat. So the people said to him, Mishugna, what are you doing? You're going to... He said, mind your own business, it's my seat, I can do whatever I want. So he said to him, you crazy kid, you can do whatever you want, but you're going to drown us. What you're doing is affecting us. It's not only affecting you. We're all going to drown because of you. And that's the concept of why a person was created alone. Okay. Then the Gemara says, so one thing the Gemara says, so here the Gemara is not talking about that Mishnah, by the way. Here the Gemara is saying, you do an act, good or bad, picture you are equally balanced. You're going to do good, it's going to affect you for all for good, and if not, God forbid, for the bad. Belazar son of Shimon Yochai says like this, the world is judged by the majority. Okay? An individual is also judged by the majority of his deeds, good and bad, like we said. Asa mitzvah achas, you do one mitzvah, ashev, you're fortunate, Shechriya es atzmei, and here he adds, ves kol ha'elam lekavzchus. Not only do you bring yourself to good, but the whole world together with you for good.
This is, they did not say 50-50. This is, if you do more, it's not 50-50.
Yeah, but that's what it means. If it's 50-50, you do even one, it's
so,
more.
So this is not one you point down. Maybe more than
right, but he's saying even also mitzvah achas, the Gemara says. Even you do one mitzvah. Aver aveda achas, early woe is to him, shechriyas atzmei, ves kol ha'olam, not only himself, but the whole world to bad, shenamar, v'chayta echad, it says, one sinner will forfeit much good. So the Gemara says, b'shvil chet yechidi sha'asa, ibid mimenu, what does the pasuk mean? Because of one bad deed that you did, you're going to weigh the whole world to bad. So you're going to destroy the world because we're judged by the majority. If the majority is good, In other words, what the Gemara is basically saying, it's as you think about it in the philosophy of life, the Gemara says that whatever you do is affecting everybody. Now, science, by the way, in the last few years, came up with a concept that if you move your hand like this and create a wind, that will affect the entire universe. In a minute way. Butterfly's wings moving affects the whole universe. Here it's a much greater level. Because over there it's a tiny, minute thing. But here the Gemara is saying, Taka, whether the world is good or not is going to depend on you. If the world is bad or not is going to depend on you. Because you're going to weigh the world to good or to bad. It's up to you. So therefore, the Gemara is basically teaching us, before you're about to do something, think about it before you do it. Weigh the pros and the cons.
Think 7 billion people together with 7
That's
billion
true. Yeah. It's not only 7 billion people. All the animals and all the planets and all the grass and all everything.
You know, if somebody did good, somebody did bad, it's covered. It's not, it's stay balanced. How you think?
Why?
Why, if I did bad thing, somebody's good, then change it.
Yeah, but as far as you're concerned, you, when you did it, made the whole world good. Somebody else made the whole world bad.
So it's get balanced.
It doesn't get balanced. It's not... Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amir Abshim Be'yichoy, Amir Abshim Be'yichoy says, there's also a very famous Gemara. Afilu tzadik gomer kol yomav. A guy could be an absolute tzadik his whole life, but right before he dies, he blows it. Umarid b'achreina, and he rebelled against Hashem at the last minute. Ibed esedishenis, you lose all your earlier good. Shenama, because it says in the pasuk, tzidkas hatzadik, the righteousness of a tzadik, lo yisatzilenu, will not save him. On the day he sins, it's not going to save you. Okay. Then the Gemara says the opposite. Afilu Rasha kol yomav, Rasha gomer. He could be a total Rasha your whole life. Va'asa tshuva b'achareina, but you do tshuva at the end. The last, like it blows up in the die, right? The last second you do tshuva. Emaskidun leshuv rishi. They don't. God doesn't even talk to you about your evil. It doesn't exist. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, "Verishas harasha lo yikashu b'yem shuvim rishi." The wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble. He will not cause him to stumble when he the day he does tshuva for his evil. But the Gemara asks, "V'neve kemachsa avenus emachsa zochius." Why can it be at least 50-50? I mean, to say you lose everything that you did. How could that be? So Amir Ishtaki, no, the Ishtaki explains this. But Tayal Rishain is speaking, the guy was a tzaddik his whole life, and now he regrets what he did, all the good he did. He regrets. So then the Gemara says you lose it. In other words, that's why he uses the expression, Morad Ba'achreina. The Gemara doesn't say he sins at the end, he rebels at the end. So in other words, he was good his whole life, and the end he says, you know what, it was so stupid that I did all these things, I regret that I did all the good, and then he dies, he loses it all.
One of the Kohen Gadol was at the end of the...
Yechon Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, he saw, he refused to...
He lost it.
He lost it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, now the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah. Middle of the page. The Mishnah says like this, Kol sheyashne b'mikro mishnah b'derech eretz. Anybody involved in studying scripture, you know, the Tanakh and Mishnah, u'b'derech eretz, and derech eretz means good character traits, ethical behavior, lei b'mehere yichote. He's not going to sin so easily. Why? Shenama, because the pasuk says, v'achuta meshulash, the three-plied string, lo b'meheri yinotik, is not easily severed. In other words, like he says, you have faith, you have deeds, and you have character.
Like a rope, yeah? If you make a rope,
it's a good, thicker rope. It's not going to, you tied a few knots. It's not going to, in fact, it's interesting. The Gemara uses the same pasuk about a guy whose father is good and the son is good and his children are good because you have three generations of good. This is the same thing. Chuta meshulish leiba meheri yinotik, the three knots, because it's three generations. Also, that's why we say in davening lo yimush mi picha umi pizaracha. In a volatzin, right? From you, your children, and your grandchildren, because then it's good. It's like three generations, so it's good. But the Gemara says like this: Rekol sheina leibem mikra, leibem mishna, v'leibem derecheretz. What happens? The guy doesn't learn Tanakh, doesn't learn Scripture, doesn't learn Mishnah, doesn't have good character. Enem in a yeshiv, he's b'chlas not a normal person. And like the Rambam says, society would be better without you. Because you're negative involvement. Okay. Then he says like this. Amar Rabbeloi b'Rab Tzadik, Rabbelazar b'Rab Tzadik says, Lema tzadikim nimshul b'elem hazeh. To what are tzadikim likened to in this world? So he gives an analogy. Le'ilan shekula emid b'mokim tara. Of a tree, that the whole tree is standing in a good place. But, naifa naita lemakum tuma. But the branches go over a place of impurity. So what happens? Nixit gnufai, when you cut off the branch, so the whole tree now is standing in a good place. And he says, kach, so the same thing. This is also a remarkable concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe yusurim al tzadikim be'lem hazeh. Hashem punishes the righteous in this world, kedei sheyushu olam haba, that they should get olam haba. So he said like this, you have the trunk of the tree, the bulk of the tree is in a good place, the branches are a little bit over, you cut the branches, now the tree is all good. He says, what does Hashem do to tzaddikim? He punishes them in this world, and the world to come, they have pure Gan Eden. Shenamer, because the pasuk says, "Bahayu reishischa mitzar, your beginning will be small, but achrischa yiskem eid, but your end will be very great." That means in this world you'll suffer a little bit, but in the world to come, it's going to be great. Ulemaru shoyim daimen beilam hazeh. And what are the wicked likened to? Leilan shekula emi b'mkayim tum, a tree that the tree is standing in an impure place. But but the branches are going over a good place. Yes, the opposite. Nixis naifai. What happens when you cut the branch? Kulay emid b'makom tuma. It's all standing in a place of tuma. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilam teva l'rishoyim b'elam hazeh. Hashem gives good for the wicked in this world. K'dei l'tardam ularisham madrega tachtayna. To bring it down to the lowest level, meaning Gehenim. That's what it means. Shenamar, yesh derech yoshe lefnei ish, there's a way that seems right to a man, but achris adarchim avis, but the end is death.
The second, I can't understand that. The branches is good, and the thing is not good.
So when they cut off the branches, so you're left with bad.
So why do that? Why you do that?
So he's saying like this: tzaddikim, every person does good and bad.
So.
Okay, tzaddikim, Hashem says, you know what? For the bad that you do, I'm going to make you suffer in this world. That now all the punishment is over. Now all your good deeds, you go to Gan Eden, permanent, eternal,
that's
beautiful.
Accepted.
The Rishayim is the opposite. So. Hashem gives the Rishayim good in this world. In other words, for the good mitzvahs they do, or the good deeds they do, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to reward you temporarily in this world. But then in the world to come, you go straight to Gehenna.
So they pay off them right now. They don't,
yeah.
They don't have credit to others.
Correct. Right. Correct. That's what the... Okay, now there's another famous Gemara. For Hoyer Abtarfun Uskenim Mesubin Baliyas Beis Nitza Balut. Rav Tarfin and the elders, his colleagues, were sitting in an attic of this guy, Beis Nitza, in Lud. Okay, that's what he used to learn in the attics, because it was quiet and peaceful, and they used to go up into these attics and learn. Nishla Shaila Zu Bifneim. So the question was asked in their presence. What was the question? Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? What's greater, learning or action? Mitzvahs. What's greater, learning Torah or doing mitzvahs? Nana Rab Tarfin, so Rab Tarfin answered the question, and he said, Maisa Gadol, mitzvahs are greater. Nana Rab Akiva, his colleague, was there, and he said, Talmud Gadol, learning is greater. Okay, so they asked the Shaila, what's greater, learning or mitzvahs? Rab Tarfin said mitzvahs, Rabbi Akiva said learning. So, what do you do? They took a vote. Nanu kulam v'omru, all of them answered saying like this. Talmud Gadol, Talmud is greater, she'talmud mevi lidei ma'isim. Because it brings you to action. So this is already a field day. This is already a field day of the Gemara. Picture this. The Gemara asks, what's greater, learning or mitzvahs? Yeah. So the Gemara answers, learning. Why is learning greater? Because it brings it to mitzvahs. That means mitzvahs are greater. What's greater, learning or doing mitzvahs? It says, learning is greater because it brings it to mitzvahs. So then mitzvahs are greater, so why are you saying learning is greater? So this is the simple meaning. At first, the person should study, because without knowledge, he cannot perform the mitzvahs. I'm just reading. Once he has completed his studies, then he should engage in these. That's one opinion. See, Tosfos says over here, Adam shalei lamed adayin, the bottom of the top Tosfos. Tosfos says, a person that didn't learn yet, he should learn. If you're illiterate, how are you going to know how to do a mitzvah? You have to learn. Aval adam shalamet kvar. But if you learned already, and you know how to do the mitzvahs, then the mitzvahs are great.
Even if you do the mitzvah, Rabbi, and you are not doing it with the knowledge of that this is a mitzvah that I'm doing,
you still get it.
You get it?
Yep.
But not as much.
Yeah.
So if automatically somebody does something that is a mitzvah, and he doesn't know that this is a mitzvah,
he still gets it as a mitzvah.
Difference between,
obviously, when you do it with kavanah and intent and love and fear, yeah. But the actual mitzvah, 100%. There's one mitzvah that you could be upset about, and you still get a mitzvah.
Losing your money.
Yeah. The Gemara says, whatever, you walk in the street, and by mistake, money falls out of your pocket. You didn't even know you lost it. When you find out you lost it, you're upset that you lost it. Yeah? And meanwhile, a poor man finds the money. It says, you get the mitzvah of tzedakah, even though you were upset that you did the mitzvah.
Very interesting.
Wow. If you were learning Torah here,
yeah,
in Brit Milah in other rooms, you cannot go listen to Brit Milah?
So this discussion, the Gemara says it very, very briefly, okay? But there's a lot of discussion in this Gemara. What exactly does the Gemara really mean? Okay? Because here we're saying, learning is greater because it brings to action, which implies action is greater. Okay? So Taisa's answer is simply, at the beginning you need to learn, because then you'll know what to do. But once you know how to do it, then the mitzvah is greater. In a different Gemara, the Gemara says like this, what do you do if you're in a situation where you have two options, to learn or to do a mitzvah, which one do you do? Okay? Which one do you do? Do you do the mitzvah or do you learn? So Gemara says like this, a mitzvah that somebody else could do, I mean somebody else would be able to do the mitzvah, then you don't do the mitzvah, you continue learning. If nobody else could do the mitzvah, only you, then you do the mitzvah and you don't learn. No. Okay, give a simple example. An old lady needs to be helped across the street. If somebody else could do it, you don't stop your learning, you learn. Because somebody else could do it. If there's nobody else to do it, then you stop the learning and do it.
Can I throw a wrench into this?
No.
You're a mitzvah Jews and you're studying Torah. There's a woman who needs help, and they were waiting to see the rabbi, so to speak, learning Torah to help.
Then again, you have the concept of Chilul Hashem. That also has to be taken into consideration. So, one minute. So, the question over here is the commentaries of the Gemara and Chassidus, they all ask, it doesn't make sense. Because what is greater? If learning is greater, then you should never stop to do the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is greater, then in all circumstances you should stop learning. So it's like funny. If nobody else could do the mitzvah, then I stop learning to do the mitzvah. But if somebody else could do the mitzvah, then I continue learning. So it's like, which one is greater, learning or? No, that's not the explanation.
Learning is around the mitzvah.
But the explanation is different. There's two aspects. There's one aspect in creation that God created us to do in the physical world, because we do physical mitzvahs, because we elevate the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what God wants us to do. The purpose of creation is that we should elevate the physical world. Otherwise, in the Shamas and Ganein, you're also studying Torah. That's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted we should come into the world and make the world holy. So therefore, like this, Kedusha-wise, Kedusha holiness-wise, learning is greater.
If you apply it.
But, because the purpose of creation is to elevate the world, so Hashem says like this, if the world would get elevated through somebody else, the world's going to get elevated anyway. Because somebody else could do the mitzvah. Then you continue learning because the Kedusha of learning is greater. But if nobody else can elevate the world, so granted learning is greater, but that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the world to be elevated. So then you have to stop learning in order to elevate the world. But if somebody else is there to elevate the world, then for yourself, learning is greater. So it depends what you're looking at. There's an aspect in, I mean, the fact that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are arguing what is greater, learning or action, right? They're not really arguing. There's something learning has that action doesn't have. There's something action doesn't have that has that learning doesn't have. So the argument one, which outweighs what? But they both have certain qualities that the other one doesn't have. But the ultimate purpose is to elevate the world.
With mitzvah.
With a mitzvah.
So
if somebody else could do the mitzvah, right? Then I continue learning.
So you don't get elevated. Because if I in Yeshua all my life.
No, it's not for me to get elevated, it's for the world to become holier. And that's being done by the other guy that can do the mitzvah.
So you don't get any
for myself, Kedusha is more in learning.
But you don't get any mitzvah.
Learning is also a mitzvah.
If you don't apply it, it's not mitzvah.
Yeah,
if
but
you learn, if you cannot do it, it's not acted. You don't
yeah, the Gemara says a person that learns with the intent of not keeping should have never been born. But that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about there's a choice. I could either do the mitzvah or learn. Okay? In other words, I can either elevate the world or learn, which is greater Kedusha. So the halach is, if somebody else would do the mitzvah, that means the world will be elevated anyway. So then halach says, okay, so you learn. But if there's nobody else to elevate the world, then the Torah says the ultimate purpose is to elevate the world.
That somebody doesn't have to be Jewish.
What? If you're doing a mitzvah, it depends what the mitzvah is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it depends what whatever the mitzvah is.
No, but he doesn't have to be Jewish. Somebody else is doing a mitzvah.
Elevate the
world. Oh, you mean like to help the old lady? Yeah. Yeah, if you talk about tefillin or what, you know.
No, somebody helping somebody and it's a goy, he has still elevated the world.
Yes, correct. Right. So it really depends on what the situation is.
You can delegate the mitzvah.
You can delegate the mitzvah. But sometimes if nobody else can do the mitzvah, then it's your responsibility.
How you know somebody else can do this, but you cannot do? How you know that?
No, if you if
learning,
no, you know somebody else could do the mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see in front of your eyes that somebody else is able
it's
to do the mitzvah.
Not only mitzvah is around you; you have to do somebody is how far from you.
No, that could be done. That doesn't matter. As long as the mitzvah could be done, it's it doesn't matter who did it, who does it.
Who's getting more
so Rabbi, on that concept of you thinking about doing it and so on, so if you're sick and like for instance there is a positive mitzvah of like prayers and tefillin and so
yeah.
on, where does that stand then if you're sick and so on? You have to get up and like
if you're able to, you have to do the mitzvah. If a person, God forbid, is unconscious in the hospital in a coma, he doesn't have to do the mitzvah.
How affect the learning improve the world?
Because by learning about
so
objects
of
the
world, about learning, you don't do anything. You don't do anything. You don't change anything.
Let me ask you a question.
You don't change anything.
Hashem set up the world, like even in the religious circles, yeah. right? The yeah. religious circles. You go to yeshiva,
so.
Okay, day school, yeshiva,
so.
You learn.
Yeah.
Then Hashem says, okay, enough,
so.
Get married.
No, exactly.
Now you have an obligation to make a living.
So
now the question is, until now you're a holy, 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 you're learning.
Yeah.
And now you got to stop learning to do a mitzvah, to support a family.
Yeah.
Hashem doesn't want people to stay single, learning their whole life in yeshiva. Hashem says, no, you need to go. So the Zohar says, the word chatan, comes with nechoyz darga, it's a lowering. Like this, you're leaving the yeshiva, you're going down. Now you have, as the Gemara says, rechayim mitzavari, you have to do the yoke of making a living and you have to raise a family. You're not able to learn as much. But that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you should go down, and now children and working and all that elevates the world. That's what Hashem wants.
I think